of course, occasions when it was just the English being wankers all on their own, or times when the Anglo-Saxons decided to set the tone for the centuries to follow. But I'm nothing if not inclusive, so if you made these isles your permanent home and were a gigantic ballend, congratulations, you made the book. 3. There are 52 stories as a sort of reminder that every week of the year we have the ability to be ballends. Sadly, the number of times we have been horrible wankers is not limited to 52. 4. This isn't a definitive history of the nightmarish atrocities we've done in our past. If you want the unvarnished history of ballendy behaviour, I can recommend David Starkey for several reasons. What you'll get here is a good overview of fun and horrifying times when we were cartoonishly evil, from a comedian just as appalled as you are about what shits it turned out we were in our past. Hopefully, you will educate your children with it. Scrap that. Enjoy it.
We started two wars with China because they weren't buying enough of our drugs. There are many noble reasons to go to war. To fight fascism, for instance. To stop a power-hungry nation from spreading across the globe. To prevent an even bigger conflict from happening down the line. We started a war with a nation we were friends with, twice, because they weren't buying enough of our opium. In the 18th century, China was pretty much the only producer of tea in the world. True to stereotype, we'd do anything we could to get our hands on the stuff. Unfortunately for us, China didn't really want anything we had to trade, which is where hardcore street drugs came in. Say what you will about addictive precursors to heroin, they do sort of create their own demand quite quickly. British traders, led by the East India Company, began smuggling opium they'd farmed in India into China. By 1833, we were smuggling 30,000 chests, weighing around 1,950 metric tons, or 17 smacked off their face blue whales, to a market of 4 to 12 million addicts in China. The Qing dynasty did everything they could to try and stop the problem, even writing to Queen Victoria asking her politely to pack it in. Eventually, China offered to let companies forfeit their opium in exchange for the tea. Unfortunately, our love of shipping drugs to a country with a massive drug addiction we'd fuelled won out. After China confiscated some of our illegal opium, we reacted in a measured fashion by launching a war to defend the interests of drug dealers against a country that had largely been a friend. It's like if Ross from Friends suddenly started pounding on Joey because he didn't want to smoke any more of Ross's meth. Yes, they aren't the closest of the friends in Friends, but it'd still make for a weird season finale. Over the next 3 years, the British government sent gunboats to attack key targets, leading to the phrases gunboat diplomacy and God, the British really are dickheads, aren't they? China, outgunned, gave in 3 years later. During the truce, we arranged better trading terms for ourselves and whilst we were there, helped ourselves to Hong Kong, which was ceded to Britain. And that was that. Until 14 years later, when we fought China again for the noble goal of forcing them to make opium legal. So committed were we to get China to smoke more of our fine British opium, grown in, let's say, less than humane conditions, this time we even teamed up with our natural enemies, the French. In 1820, before the First Opium War, China's economy was the largest in the world. After the end of the Second Opium War, we left them with half the GDP and millions of drug addicts. But in our defence, we got quite a lot of Earl Grey. We may have slaughtered the Vikings because they were too polite, sexy and clean. In 1002, King Ethelred the Unready ordered the massacre of all the Danish men who were among the English race on St. Brice's Day. The Danish had been settled in parts of England for 100 years or more, so it must have come as a bit of a shock when they were rounded on and killed in notable numbers. In Oxford, one group of Danish men broke into a church to hide from the locals who were in full pitchfork mode. Rather than think, "Oh well, we tried," the locals decided the best course of action would be to set fire to the church, burning at least